I think we have enough for a quorum. Let this meeting of the House Health and Social Service Committee come to order. It's 3:05 on February the 12th, 2013. Present are Representative Keller, Representative Seaton, Representative Reinbold, myself, Representative Higgins. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum. I'd like to recognize our staff today, which would be Butch Carver, Alex, our LIO coordinator. One of these days I'll get his last name right. And Paul Verhagen, my committee eight. All right, let's start today by doing a little housekeeping. If you have a cell phone, please turn it off or put it on vibrate so it does not ring. We would all appreciate that. Today we are honored to have the Youth Policy Summit people here to give us a presentation, an overview of sorts, with some testimony. And with that, we have Amanda, Miss Amanda Mativier. And she will be introducing her guests with her as we move along. So with that said, the table is now yours.
So I'm Amanda Mativier, and I'm the statewide coordinator of an organization called Facing Foster Care in Alaska. And I'm also a coordinator for the Alaska Youth Policy Summit. And this is an event that we do each year. We bring in about 20 or so youth from all of the state who have varying experiences with social service systems, so youth who have experience in the foster care system, juvenile justice, youth who have experienced homelessness, substance abuse, and we teach youth to share their stories and the importance of having a voice in policy and allow them opportunities to come out and visit with their legislators and develop skills as leaders. And so I'm going to let these guys all introduce themselves, and they're going to take a moment to share their stories with you. But before they do that, I just wanted to note that I think we've been out to visit most of your offices. If not, we'll stop by with a packet, or maybe you already have the packet. But in this specific presentation, we can't reference any specific legislation, but we can speak to our own experiences. So also to tell you a little bit about myself, I spent 3 years in foster care in Anchorage. I aged out of the foster care system, so I have personal experience with the system myself, and just got my master's in social work in May of last year. So I'm
Before we begin, let me interrupt you just for 1 second. I'd like to recognize for the record that Representative Tarr is on, and Representative Pruitt is here now. So thank you.
So I think we'll just have you guys each first introduce yourselves and say where you're from, and then we'll go through and have you share your stories. So I'll start with.
My name's Crystal Perilla, and I'm from Anchorage, Alaska.
I'm Lily Babineau, also from Anchorage, Alaska.
Kiara Goodman, also from Anchorage, Alaska.
And I'm Rebecca Shire. I'm from Anchorage, Alaska, and I'm the statewide representative for Facing Foster Care in Alaska.
And I should also note that this is an event that's sponsored by the Alaska Mental Health Board, with also support from the Bring the Kids Home project. So who would like to start? Kiara?
All right. I'm born and raised Alaska native, Kiara Goodman. I'm a 21-year-old college student. I aged out of foster care, graduated residential treatment, and lived in many communities around Alaska. I consider myself intelligent, empathetic, and genuine person after these experiences. As a daughter of a bipolar alcoholic, I became a ward of the state at a young age. However, that didn't save me from a challenging childhood. I was bounced between a loving and supportive guardian and my abusive mother about 10 to 15 times before the age of 13. My mother lost her parental rights, and then the state brought my father into the picture. Life with him was just as chaotic. 3 to 4 months later, I arrived back at my guardian's home telling my social worker that no way was I going to go back. At my guardian's house, I started high school, and there I was comfortable and felt like my troubles were over. I made friends, was getting good grades, and I even became a varsity cheerleader. Near the end of my freshman year, though, I was put on medication. My friends were curious to the pills I had, and who I was totally changed. I began defying my guardian, and at 14 years old, I was overwhelmed with smoking, selling drugs, and partying. My guardians could no longer handle me, and the medication had increased. Then I was moved to a shelter. After being there for 2 months, they moved me into a residential treatment and put me on even more medications. Because of the effects of the medications, my grades fell and my personality was gone. I felt like I was in an ocean of lies and I didn't have the mentality to understand it. When I lost privileges like watching the Super Bowl and seeing my grandpa for his birthday, I asked why, and I couldn't get a direct answer at what I had done wrong. I stopped swallowing the pills and then I ran away, and it was the middle of February 2007 that I actually felt safer sleeping on the benches of downtown Anchorage than I did at the residential treatment. My father then received word that I had ran away, and he also heard of how heavily medicated I was. He had never condoned that, and his parental rights were violated. Thanks to this, I agreed to move to another residential treatment, and they took me off the medication. 6 months after that, I completely wowed the staff at how stable, smart, and fun I was to be around. I still had to finish the treatment plan and face foster homes, but I felt like I'd won the battle to be myself. Along this journey for my fight for my uniqueness, I met other kids who also lost themselves to medications and manipulations. Many who go through the system lose hope for dreams and feel they are just a file that no one cares to know. Sadly, they give up their fight, and they rarely move forward to know any love or success. I hope this story can give you insight that the less fortunate children of Alaska need your support. There's no drug in the world that can give hope to our future or fix our past. Had my family been involved in my case, being bounced around, over-medicated, and placed in shelters could have been avoided. So thank you for hearing this story, and I hope that you choose to invest in these individuals and give them hope.
So, Representative Higgins, I don't know if we should take questions or if we should just move on through each story.
Well, that's up to you. I mean, and if we do have questions, you can come through the chair and we can ask. So if there's no questions, let's move on.
Who wants to go next?
All right, so like I said previously, my name is Becca. I'm 22. I live in Anchorage, Alaska. And Office of Children's Services, formerly DFYS, has been involved in my life since I was born. My mom was a heavy user of crack cocaine and alcohol throughout, before having me, obviously, and throughout the pregnancy. And so I was taken directly from the hospital by the state. I think I was in an emergency placement as an infant, and then I went back home to my mom's care because she had supports from my uncle and my grandmother. My uncle then had some issues with drinking, and he got a few DUIs, so he wasn't deemed appropriate to take care of me, and my grandma passed away when I was about 7 years old, and so there was no really supports in my life, but the state did not decide to remove me until I was actually 12 years old, and it was after a domestic violence issue. And so once in foster care, I stayed in foster care till I was 19. I moved through 24 different places, and this, you know, is treatment centers for lack of somewhere to stay other than, you know, the last resort, homeless shelters, even sleeping outside like Kiara had mentioned, emergency foster homes that were meant to be permanent, a reunification with my mom that failed 5.5 months into it. There's just a huge lack of foster homes, you know, throughout the state, in Anchorage specifically too, but, you know, throughout the state in general. And, you know, every time a youth moves through a foster home, whether it's to a treatment center, whether it's to a relative's, wherever that is, every move sets that child back, you know, 5 to 6 months in their education. They lose friends, they lose the connections that they are building, and it, you know, keeps them from building that trust with adults that they should have had from birth. So there were several other options that they could have looked into, such as placing me with my sister on my dad's side or something like that, but they chose not to do that either, and so I aged out of foster care, and that's what drives me to do the work I do today. Like I said, I'm the statewide representative for FFCA, and I've been doing it for about 4 years, and I've been involved with the group as a whole for about 8 years. I'm also the outreach case manager at Alaska Youth Advocates. It's located downtown Anchorage, and it's a youth and young adult drop-in center and clinic for at-risk and homeless teens predominantly. And I'm in and out of school, college, working on my double major in social work and music. So, thank you.
Representative Verma?
I have a very elementary question. Can you just explain what age do you age out?
So typically, at 18, a youth is available to leave foster care on their own, unless there's some kind of other issue where the state deems it necessary to keep them in, whether that's a disability or, you know, maybe a mental health issue or their education isn't going as well as they planned. But up until, I think, last year, it was 20 years old you could stay in foster care till, and just last year, I think, we got it to 21. And so a youth can stay in if they want till 21. And the term aging out itself is just not finding legal permanency. So that's not getting adopted, not getting guardianship, and not getting reunified. So they're just aging out of the system with no permanent family, I guess.
I have a question. So in your work, do you is this voluntary work that you do? Are you being paid?
So this, with Facing Foster Care in Alaska, is predominantly volunteer. Sometimes we get a couple stipends or like $10 gift cards for speaking on a panel or something like that, but it's not paid. My work as an outreach case manager is a paid position that developed out of an AmeriCorps volunteer position, so that was pretty low at first as well. But I'm here on my own time, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Is there any other questions? I'm sure there'll be more as we can continue on.
So who wants to go next? Crystal?
Or? Okay. My name is Crystal Perilla. I work at Alaska Youth and Family Network. I am 20 years old. I am going to UAA for Human Services. And I was in foster care as well. I was placed in care when I was 8 years old. And between the time I was 8 years old and 16, I had been through 24 different placements. That included residential treatment centers, group homes, different foster homes. And I didn't really get a chance to build connections with adults. Much like Becca said, I learned not to trust adults. I learned, you know, to do things on my own. And when I was 16, I got placed back with my mom, and that failed because of the fact that even though she had changed her life, we hadn't had the connection and the contact since I was 8 years old. So I turned 18, and I found my dad, who lives in Washington, and he hadn't had any contact with me since I was young. I don't remember when the last time I had talked to him before I was 18 was. However, he was doing all right, and but we didn't have the connection that we should have had either because we had no contact as well when I was growing up. So I've been kind of doing things on my own. I call them my family. I have people that I call my family now, and I'm living with them, and they're helping me out a lot. But not every youth gets that chance to have someone that they can call family after they're 18. And with youth not being placed before they're 18 or before they're through more than one or two placements, it's really hard on the youth. So it affected me a lot. And currently at Alaska Youth and Family Network, I work as a peer navigator to help keep youth from having to go through the system like that. I help advocate for their needs. We do a lot of different things. It depends on what the people who need. We serve the whole family. So for the youth that come through that don't really have anyone, we try to have them get support within the community. Or if they're going through OCS, then we try to, you know, be there as a support for them, really. It kind of depends on what their needs are, though. So we're really family-focused. And,
Lily, are you ready?
Nope. Never, but then again, there's a time and place for everything. So, I'm Lily from Anchorage, Alaska, currently 19 years old, in my first college semester at University of Alaska Anchorage for hospitality and restaurant management. Considering changing my major to criminal justice, mostly because I love to argue. I do love to argue. I argue with Amanda all the time. But being placed in treatment and being placed in foster care changed my life from being an abused, neglected child who had to take care of her younger, mentally disabled brother to being an adult, being a registered voter, being a college student. When I was younger, I never believed that I would be able to accomplish all of these things that I have accomplished, being as mature as I was at the age of 12, being forced to become that mature. My mother would never, she didn't really care, basically. When I got put into care, she gave up her rights as soon as she could. The first opportunity she got, she said it's because she wanted me to have a better life. I don't believe that. She tries to feed me lies all the time, and I don't really appreciate it. Which is one of the reasons why I'm glad I was placed in foster care. It gave me a chance to actually have a true family who cares, who don't treat me like I'm a slave, who don't expect me to expect the degree of what my mom had asked of me. They don't expect me to, yes, they expect me to succeed, get a job, graduate. Well, I want to own my own restaurant, so I'm sure they expect that of me too. But from being over-medicated to being medication-free, from being an immature adult at the age of 12 to being a mature adult at the age of 19, from being hopeless to having hope, from not knowing if I was going to live to see the age of 18, if I was going to live to graduate high school or live to be a college student, I now know that there's hope. There's hope for me. There's hope for my brother, who is now in second grade. He has just about as good a memory as I do. He's matured so much from being a little boy. I almost consider him my son, because I practically raised him. But being in foster care changed my life from being hopeless to having hope.
Thank you. Representative Keller?
Well, I just want to say that nobody should have to go through what you've gone through. And I want to say I'm really impressed with your being articulate. I'm impressed with your willingness to talk openly and look us in the eye and tell us the stuff you've been through. From our perspective, we try to do policy, and sometimes it's in an ivory tower in a vacuum, and you being here really helps. So I just wanted to say thank you, and I also want to say that it's clear and obvious to me that the pain that you have expressed and gone through has made you shining examples, and gives me a lot of hope for what you're going to be in the future. So, yeah, very impressive. Thank
you. Very impressive. Representative Rumble?
Okay. Also, thank you. It was really nice meeting all of you ahead of time, and your stories are very touching. And I think what was the best part about all this is that you all say there's hope. There's hope. You know, that you didn't get lost in this, that there was somebody there. And I just want to make a comment. I agree fully with Representative Keller. None of you deserve to go through, but you're strong. You're stronger than many of us because of what you've been through. And thank you for passing it on. Part of the healing process is passing it on and helping others. And you guys are all a shining example of that. So keep it up. Okay, thank you for what you're doing.
Is there any? Okay.
Well,
always.
Yeah, I'm sorry. You can get ahead.
Thank you also for sharing your stories with us and being here. And it's really fun to have youth in front of us and share your knowledge. And one of the things, as I learned a little bit more about this issue, that was really surprising to me was the frequency at which you were moving from placement to placement. And at least a couple of you said that, you know, in a very short time, you were in more than 24 different locations. And I guess I just wanted to comment on that again for something for us to think about. I don't know if you work with the Alaska Family Resource Center. They help on the recruitment of foster parents, but I feel like there's probably more we could do to support that, and you know, maybe we're not doing a good job if you're ending up having to go to so many different locations and all the disruption in your life that results from that. So if you have any suggestions for us on how we could, you know, help that and get information out, please let us know, and we can take it to our constituent meetings and try and get some good people involved.
Could I respond to that?
Oh, go ahead.
I know there's a lot of work being done to recruit foster families, and especially for a lot of the older youth who are much harder to place, because most people who are going through the licensing process to become foster parents, they often want babies or small children, not 16-year-old girls, right? Mm-hmm. And so, but I think a lot of what happens is the initial placement. And so for when young people come into care, there's no system to sort of play matchmaker. And so it's kind of like whatever bed is open. Mm-hmm. And then you have a child who's, or a youth who's experienced significant trauma, who's dealing with issues, and then you have foster parents that aren't licensed as therapeutic placements. They're just regular foster parents who oftentimes can't deal with whatever's going on, and you have a young person in your home who's grieving, and so what happens is the placement disrupts, and they go on to the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and it just becomes a bigger issue with things like reactive attachment disorder and that kind of thing. So I think finding more permanent placements up front, but also there was legislation that passed and went into effect last year that basically asks that the state make extra efforts to try and find permanent homes for children. So really trying to exhaust all resources as they look for, whether it be reunification with their family, guardianship with their current foster care placement, rather than just letting them, maybe it's great, and they just kind of let them linger in that home for 6 to 10 years until they age out. Why not ask that family to do a guardianship or to be an adoptive placement? And so it's going to be a little bit more difficult at this point for the state to use the goal of, it's called APLA. It stands for Another Planned Permanent Living Arrangement, and it's basically long-term foster care. And so a lot of teens get that goal, and then they just remain in foster care until they're young adults and out on their own and don't really have a support system in place. So if we're making efforts earlier to connect them permanently to families, then we're going to have better outcomes.
I would agree. I'd like to recognize Representative Gar, you're in the room. If you want to come sit with us, you can. Thought you were back there hiding, but I found you.
Hiding in plain sight.
That's right. You know, I too would like to echo the thoughts of everyone on the panel that, you know, your strength and your testimonies are well heard, and you should not be silent also, you know, because people out there in your same situations, you know, I think when they hear your story, you know, it gives them strength. It gives them hope, too. And knows that there's more to, you know, the world than what they have. So I, for one, appreciate that. Also, you know, and as I was growing up, we had someone live with us for a very long time. And Willie is still a good friend of ours in Hawaii. And we still enjoy his company when I go over there, and his family, you know, and all that. And so you do, those bonds do grow, especially with long-term care, you know, with families that take in kids like that. And as a young man at that time, I was a little bit, you know, gosh, do I need another brother in my home? But I have one already. But Willie was definitely an asset to the family, really, truly was. And so I appreciated that time with him. And like I said, I appreciate all your guys' willingness to come forward and talk to us about that. Is there anything else that anybody?
Oh, one last question. Should I cut you off? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just didn't get a chance to really look over your legislative priorities too quickly. Are you able to comment on any of those?
So we, at this time in this presentation, can't comment on any of those, but we have youth that are coming to meet with you in your offices. If not, they've dropped off a packet, or if maybe they didn't get a meeting, we could set something up after this so that we could stop by and chat more with you individually.
Yeah, I'd be great to know a little bit more about these suggestions and how we can help, you know, in that legislation.
Just a question. I know there's been a lot of efforts with Covenant House, and I'm not sure if you have a coordinated effort working with them or not. I know they're building a new facility in Anchorage, and I'm not sure if that's something that you work with or if it's a, you know, a unique situation. So I'd like to know if you work with Covenant House.
I actually used to work for Covenant House for about 3 years up until last year and went to work for the university. But so their building's almost complete and is set to open this fall. So, and will, I think, triple the number of beds that they have available to youth.
Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Representative.
Chair, thank you. I just, having worked with a good portion of these youth, I just don't know that if you know sort of some of the things they didn't brag about, but they train social workers. A lot of social workers haven't been through the system, and they spend a lot of time with OCS sharing their experiences, good and bad, so OCS can improve its practices. And I think that's been a good collaborative process. They have come to this legislature for years educating us, and I think they've been behind a lot of the foster care reforms this legislature has adopted, including some that have added a few college scholarships, which may be the ones that some of the youth you've heard from have used to get into college. But a long time in the past, we had not done a very good job. OCS saw its mission as preventing harm. That's a main mission. But the part of the mission, which was also making sure youth transition into success, is what they've worked on really substantially and done a good job at. So thank you.
Excellent. Well, I appreciate coming in and talking with us and helping educate us, and we'll work for you and do the best we can. Okay? Well, with that said, if there's no more questions, our next HESS meeting will be at 3 p.m. on February the 14th. We will not have a presentation at the time, but we will be hearing HB 44, Advanced Healthcare Directive Registry. So with that said, we're going to gavel out, and the time is 3:30. Meeting adjourned.